Welcome back. Happy Saturday, everybody. Just after 10 a.m. here on August 17th. If you're driving around the nation's capital, I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. It's the Son of the Junks with you here on a Saturday morning. Speaking of the Junks, I got J.P. Flame. He'll join us at 11 a.m. as we break down the Washington Commanders and their second preseason game that'll be tonight against the Miami Dolphins. The theme of the show today is also inside the NFC, breaking down the opponents for the Washington Commanders this season. We just went through the NFC North. 10:45 will be the NFC South, and we'll close out the show with inside the NFC West. But joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL, because BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. Get three free days of BetQL access by downloading the app or visiting BetQL.com. It is Rick Snyder, Sergeant Snyder in the AWOD Army. What's going on, Rick?
Oh, I'm just getting all my bets ready, you know. So we'll see that.
Are you bet again? How excited are you for preseason game number two tonight?
Zero.
Yeah.
But I would say this year surprised me with fans. They're more interested in just seeing the new players, including Daniels. But the new players, then they don't worry about the winning and scoring or any of that at all. They just want to see the new players.
Yeah, so, I'm one of those guys, Rick, and I think it's because I believe in this front office and this coaching staff. They're going to give these guys an opportunity, and there could be a rookie or an undrafted free agent that makes a play in preseason and then makes this team. I just believe in the coaching staff's talent evaluation so much more than the previous staff.
Well, yeah, you look at Ron's drafts. I wrote about it yesterday for JFK on Odyssey.com. But, you know, Chase is already gone. Dotson's on the verge. Davis is on the verge. And Forbes may be on the bench. So by next season, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe Forbes is the only one left. So there's four first-round picks.
Yeah.
And that's a disaster. And then we're not even talking second-round picks. You
right.
know, I think they're going to cut like Fedarian Mathis. I wouldn't be surprised to see that one. You know, their drafts have been horrible. I think six picks might survive to this season from 4 years of Ron. That's how you're losing.
Yeah. I mean, that's just so wild. It shows you in the NFL you have to hit on your first-round picks. That is so important. And this year's first-round pick, Jaden Daniels, will play tonight. How much do you expect Jaden Daniels to play? And what are you looking for in terms of what would define success for Jaden in preseason game two?
Quinn's been very, you know, limited in what he has said about playing time, so don't really know for sure. But I would think he'll be into the second quarter, and that they have two quarterbacks down. I don't know. Maybe that lets Driscoll come in earlier, but you know, and they signed Trace McSorley. Maybe he plays the fourth quarter because he knows the system. For Daniels, no turnovers, no injuries, the rest of it, whatever. Yeah, this is a good quarterback. I'm really excited about this one. This is the best. I think he'll be better than Griffin. I mean, it's hard to say right now, but I think he is. I think he gets more qualities to him. And then, you know, I looked at, they've drafted 11 quarterbacks in the first round in team history. Mm-hmm. And of course, Sammy Ball was the great one. But after that, Zippo, man, all their great quarterbacks, Theismann, Jurgensen, Kilmer, these all guys came by trade. You know, Schrader, I mean, you could say Cousins was probably the best one of the post era, but he was a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting to finally see him hit on one. And, you know, barring injury, this kid's got everything.
Rick Snyder with us here on the BetQL guest hotline. You said no turnovers for Jaden. I'm okay with a turnover. I actually want to see him force a ball into a tight window. I want to see him test himself, because this is his last opportunity to make a mistake and then bounce back from that before the regular season. Because I think if, like, his second drive he throws a pick, they're definitely going to put him out there for one more drive to see how he responds to that.
Yeah, I don't know. He might play the third one. I mean, that's another thing Quinn just hasn't said.
Mm-hmm.
But with one less preseason game, that's one big reason why Quinn said they had two practices against other teams to kind of replace the fourth preseason game in terms of real reps.
Yeah.
That was a pretty smart move on that. I hadn't thought of it that way. But I could see him. I mean, plus you're thinking the last game, it's an NBC national game. Well, you know the networks are going to say, we really want to see JD against, you know, the New England quarterback, Drake May. You know, have that 2-3 thing in the draft. I mean, they're trying to sell beans here. So, you know what I mean? And I think they can – and it's his only home game. So, You know, it's kind of like you got to give fans something. I mean, so I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a quarter in the last game.
Yeah, I'm on record saying it's not going to happen. I just think Dan Quinn's going to have conversations with people, and they're going to say, look, we've seen enough. It's not worth it. Let's save him for the regular season. So we disagree with that, but you and I are on the same page. I looked at your Twitter, Snide_remarks, and that's that we both believe Dan Quinn will know what his depth chart will look like by the end of tonight's game. Why don't you share your thoughts on that with us?
Well, I hope he does, because the last game's a throwaway. So what would happen there? I mean, the last game, maybe somebody makes the 53, you know, the sixth receiver or something. I mean, receiver core is really going to be difficult to cut down. They don't have a great receiver core, but they've got a lot of guys that are good. And that's, you know, a guy like De'Ami Brown or, you know, Olafide Zaccheaus or, you know, Bryson Tremaine. I mean, some of these guys are, you know, decent prospects. You hate to see, you know, cut them. I think they get them practice squads if they have to, but that's going to be probably the most competitive position. It's interesting at left tackle because if Brandon Coleman's not playing yet, you know, he really probably can't go into his start in the season with them, you know, because he doesn't have enough in the tank yet. And that's a real shame. So Lucas probably, if he doesn't look bad, would probably start at left tackle. You know, tight end, I mean, Cole Turner, I think, falls off this roster. And that's too bad because 2 years ago I thought, wow, this kid is going to be really good. And injuries and other things. And now you got a new coach that doesn't believe in him. That's going to be a guy that falls out. I mean, very, very competitive roster up and down. And, you know, the kicker. If the kicker goes out there and botches it, there's somebody new in here next week.
Yeah.
On that. So there's a lot to look at. You know, like I said, it's not so much about the score. It's just about what the pieces are doing.
Yeah, and I think you're so right in the tight end, especially with Ben Sennett having that one big play. I mean, that's all we needed to see, and then boom, it seems like he's probably tight end two in the depth chart behind Zach Ertz, and you know they're going to use Bates as a blocker. How about the defensive side of the ball? Give us one or two things to watch for tonight on the defensive side.
What does Jamin Davis do? How much, you know, where is he playing? What's he, you know, is he just playing pass rush specialist? That means he really isn't going to be playing linebacker much this season. As much, and that's a key. Their pass rush, it would be nice to see them generate a little more there. You know, the defensive backs, there's a battle going on too. You know, Forbes is trying to, you know, do it. And I think Forbes has had a decent camp, and I think he's looked better this summer than he did last year. But is that enough? You know, they've got to get better quickly. So I think there's, you know, the front and back of the defense more in the middle. You know what Louisville and Wagner is going to do. So there's nothing there. I would say, you know, we say preseason games are meaningless, but you remember last year's Baltimore game?
Yeah.
That might have been, I was telling John Kine that, and then Troy Aikman said it on the air. That was the best preseason game I ever saw. They really cared. They wanted to beat each other. You know, who knew that would be the hurrah of the season, basically.
Right.
But that was an exciting preseason game. So sometimes you get to see something fun.
Well, last year, I just, you know, and you mentioned it, it just felt so phony. Like, we were celebrating that preseason win like we had just, you know, gotten a berth into the playoffs. And it turns out that was basically the highlight of the season. My take is that this year's been real. There's a real GM, there's a real coach, and there's real competition going on both sides of the ball. You mentioned the wide receiver battle. Who ends up winning it? Let's hear your wide receiver 1 through 5 for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I'm bad. Well, you know, Terry's won. Wow. I'm not quite sure how I'd rank them yet, but Dotson's in your top five. De'Ami Brown, who going into camp, I kind of thought might not make it. He'll make it now. I don't think Crowder makes, I don't know if Crowder makes it on this one. I personally really like Bryson Tremaine. I've seen him make a ton of plays. But as soon as all, you know, the coach mentioned, if I say it right, Olamide Zaccheaus, is that how you say it? These names. I'm getting Tank McNamara disease, my old age. He's, you know, caught the coach's eye. So I think he's on the five.
Yeah.
On there. I'm missing somebody. I can't think of who it is. But
Luke McCaffrey, like I said, right?
Oh, yeah. McCaffrey. That's the one I couldn't remember. McCaffrey has not had the summer I expected in some ways in terms of use. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, very disciplined player. You can see the NFL bloodline that he knows how to do the right thing when he's in practice and all. So, you know, he's come well-schooled.
Yeah.
And I know they like him, so he'll be in there. Could he be the three? Maybe. I think they're going to use probably five guys all the time. It's because nobody stands out so much more than the others after you get past Terry.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it, which is unfortunate. I do think it comes down to OZ against Crowder. Those guys are kind of so similar, I don't think you can keep both of them on the roster. And so I think, look, it's Terry McLaurin. I'm still saying it's Jahan, too. Diami's three, with a slot guy being either OZ or Crowder. And then, of course, Luke McCaffrey. And I don't know, maybe it is Bryce and Tremaine if they can't keep six wide receivers. But it's definitely going to be a battle. Rick, anything else you wanted to mention ahead of the game tonight that you'll be watching for?
Kick returns. You know, you're not seeing the real schemes yet. Everybody's a vanilla out there. Mm. I've been watching them practice it. I mean, this new kickoff rule is both stupid and cool, and both things can be true. It's interesting to watch, and we're not even really seeing it yet in games because no one wants to show what they're going to do.
Yeah. But what have you seen at practice that you think is going to change when it gets to the regular season?
Well, one thing that I think is going to change is the blocking schemes. Everybody's been pretty straight up. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they've got, not to say I've seen it in this practice because I'll get banned, but I think a lot of teams are going to have more guards on the field to do pulls. They'll have more tight ends on the field to do pulling blocks and create a lane. And I think the first half of the season, you're going to see a lot more out of the long runs. Then by midseason, everybody's figured it out and they'll neutralize it. That's what the NFL does. But for a while, whoever's the quickest and the fastest gets the win.
Yeah, I wonder how many teams are just going to say, hey, we'll just kick it out of the end zone and not risk having it be returned all the way to the 50 or something.
Well, there'll be coaches like that. There's some risk-averse people out there. But I think and that's how you shape the roster, too. You might have a running back make this team that in the past it would have been a receiver who does the kick returns because you need more of an inside running guy in this type of scheme. Because you've got to have guys that can break tackles. The old ones, they ran 20 yards, and you saw how fast they could make one move. Now, if you've got a guy that's going to be almost instantly hit and has to be able to cut through traffic, and that's a running back, you know, more than anything.
Rick, really appreciate you taking the time, man. Thanks so much.
All right, see you.
Yep, that is Sergeant Snyder in the AWOD Army, Rick Snyder. Follow him on social media at Snide_remarks. And, of course, you can read his work as a columnist for 106.7 The Fan on thefandc.com. Don't go anywhere. Don't change that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Time to get up and Adam here on a Saturday morning. Just after 10:15, I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with that free Odyssey app. Download it today anywhere you get your apps at AUDACY. And it's AWOD here. We've got Donald running the ones and twos behind the glass. Love for you to chime in on this. I'm going to spring this topic on you here. And that's because I've heard this take all month long. I've heard it, and I'm tired of it. I think it's so basic. And I'm tired of it, so I'm calling it out. I think it's the most basic radio take ever. All right? It's the, I hate the preseason. It's so boring. I can't wait for the regular season. These games are meaningless. Let's get rid of it all. All of that may be true, but here's why I don't like that take. The preseason is good because I think the preseason is for everyone. We all need it. We really do. So I'm going to give you a few reasons why I believe in the preseason. I believe the preseason should stick around in the National Football League forever. Let it be known, Donald, AWOD is pro preseason, all right? Preseason is for everybody. Preseason is for everyone. We know it's for the players and the coaches, right? That's the obvious one. It's, what, 75 guys trying to make a 53-man roster? It's coaches trying to install their new offense, their new defensive schemes. The preseason is important because, let's be honest, the first few weeks of the regular season are always slow. The offenses are always kind of slow to get started. The defense is always kind of making a few mistakes here and there. Special teams is kind of a disaster. The first 4 weeks of the season are kind of ugly at times, and that's with preseason. Imagine how it'd be without preseason. Preseason is absolutely for the players, the coaches, and it's for the refs too. Let's be honest. I watched a lot of preseason week one, and even that preseason week two game, Patriots against the Eagles, the refs missed a lot of calls. They really did. They need to work on some things. Like, they need to watch the tape and figure out what they got wrong. There's new rules this year. New kickoff rules, no hip drop tackle. The refs need the preseason. Because believe me, I don't want to lose a game week one because the refs are still rusty from the offseason. Preseason is for everyone, Donald. How about this? Preseason's for the fans, too. I watched preseason week one with my buddies. We're all together, and we're all screaming, go Jaden Daniels. He goes down the field. They get into the end zone. I mean, that first quarter was like electric between the Commanders and the Jets because it was our first time seeing the new look pieces of the Dan Quinn era. And my buddy thought Dan Quinn was being stupid because the clock's winding down and he's screaming at the TV, Dan, call timeout, call timeout. We all realized clock was winding down at the end of the first quarter. We're all stupid for thinking they should call a timeout. The fans need the preseason. It's been months, you know, since we've yelled at a TV. It's been months. We're rusty. I didn't know what to say when we got a first down, right? Good hit. Nice tackle. He's open. Throw the dang ball. Take a sack. We got to remember what to say. It's been 6 months since we sat down, drank a beer, and screamed at our TV. Since we shouted, challenge that. I hope I'm not yelling challenge that this season at Dan Quinn. How about the fact that if you're having a watch party, preseason is good for that. I know preseason game number two tonight, I'm going to have my place covered better than last time. My place was clean now. It was dirty last week. I didn't have chips. I didn't have snacks. I only had like three or four beers. I stocked my fridge. Preseason is for the fans too. How about you get together with people to watch a preseason game? My buddy was wearing a Chase Young jersey. Donald, I told him, that's a preseason move. Take that garbage off. You can't wear an old jersey, especially if it's a guy that's still in the league on another team, right? You got to make mistakes during the preseason. There's so many things that preseason is good for. How about the broadcast team? I'm not going to say it was a minor league broadcast team because I love Chick Hernandez, and of course we love B-Mitch here from the B-Mitch and Finley show, but those aren't the national guys that I'm used to. It felt like a preseason game, right? I liked it because those guys are plugged into everything Washington Commanders, and they know how to break this game down. And like I was watching on the NFL Network, they had the McCourty twins, who of course played for the New England Patriots calling that game. Like, preseason is good because the broadcast booth gets to experience things. Even the National Football League was working through some kinks with their cable lines, right? Every year they've got to set up to have a national televised game live feed at 32 stadiums. I don't know about you guys, but when I watched the games last week and then earlier this week for one preseason game, like, the feed was off at times. It was like, yeah, they're working through the kinks here. The commercials were all local, right? It had a preseason vibe. Come regular season, it's going to be all national brands like Bud Light and Coca-Cola. You know, there's so many things that I do think that we don't appreciate about the preseason. But absolutely, I just highlighted a few. As fans, we got to get the rust off of us. As refs, they got to work on some things. The broadcast booth, they've got to work through the kinks. I think the preseason is great. And then, of course, I'm fired up for this year's preseason because I believe this coaching staff is giving everybody a chance. They don't care the difference between Jahan Dotson and Olamide Zaccheaus. Whoever plays better in preseason is going to be higher up on the depth chart when the regular season comes. Have I convinced you? 1-800-636-1067. The preseason should be here to stay. What do you think, Donald?
Yeah, those are all very, very great points. Because kind of to your point, if you just immediately dive into week one and you have all those, you know, problems that exist, like you said, the broadcast team, the refs, et cetera, people are going to be pissed, especially if it costs you a game. So this is that kind of, you know, dress rehearsal for everybody, the fans, everybody to, you know, kind of get their feet wet again and get acclimated before games start actually matter, you know?
Absolutely. You got to practice live betting again. Open that FanDuel app. How quick can you bet on that prop, right? There's so many things. You got to have the snacks right. The situation has to be perfect. Oh, your speakers are messed up. Well, you got the preseason to go to Best Buy and fix that. I think the preseason is great. I am pro preseason. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Preseason, week two for the Commanders tonight against the Miami Dolphins. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with that free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey app today to support me during the week. It's easy. Just search 910 The Fan on the free Odyssey app. It'll give you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off on 910 The Fan. I'm live and local Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. Of course, Saturday mornings right here on 106.7 The Fan. You can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. We were just talking about how I am pro preseason. Eddie tweets me, AWOD. He says, I use the preseason football to find sleepers for fantasy football. He gets it. He gets it, Donald. That's what you're supposed to do. That's a great point. That's why I am very pro preseason. 12th Man tweets me, AWOD, when it comes to what to watch tonight against the Dolphins Commanders preseason week two, I want to see this team defend the run and also run blocking. That is key. He wants to see less offensive line pre-snap penalties. Obviously, less penalties, less laundry on the field, the better. As far as wide receiver six, he can really see that being won by a kick returner or a punt returner. I do agree there. We'll see if OZ gets a chance to shine in that role, because I do think he's in terms of the wide receiver room. And then he also says, can the defense create a turnover? That's a great point. We're going to most likely see the starting defense for the entire first quarter. And last year, the Dallas defense created a lot of turnovers. That was the Dan Quinn specialty there with Joe Witt Jr., right? I think it was Bland leading the NFL in interceptions returned for a touchdown. Like, they just created so many takeaways and made things so much easier for the offensive side of the ball. I would love to see if the defense can create a turnover today. Phone lines are open throughout the show, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to line two. We've got Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Hey, are you wearing sunglasses?
Yeah.
The future's so bright, you gotta wear shades. and don't forget, man, there's a gleam, man. There's a gleam.
Why do you think the future's looking so bright for this team?
Well, no Snyder, no Ron, no problems.
I mean, is it really that simple, Kevin?
From where I'm looking at, it is.
Yeah.
They've got the pieces in place.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of execution.
Yeah, I'm with you. I appreciate you chiming in. That conversation did come up with my buddies at dinner yesterday. We just all said to each other, Donald, like, what if the Commanders are great? Because there's just simply no more Dan Snyder and no more of the people that Dan Snyder hired. Like, Ron Rivera, last year was such a lame duck season. We knew the team wasn't going to be good, because the fan base didn't even believe in the coaching staff. I don't think the coaching staff even believed in the quarterback, like Sam Howell. Ron named Sam Howell the starter basically to just keep his job for another year, to get the fans something to be excited about. The future of this team does look good, and I think part of it's just because Dan's gone, Ron's gone, and I think I can speak for most fans here, because I believe I have a pretty good pulse on the fan base, and that is that we like what Adam Peters did this offseason. We like Dan Quinn and his coaching style. There's a lot to be excited about. Let's go to line three. We've got Carlito in Virginia. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, A1? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm one of those fans that's been around for a while. And, well, the way things are materializing and I've been following, and I'm kind of intrigued about regarding the fan base. I'm keeping track of the off season and the training camp and everything, and I'm trying to convince my brother to get excited again, but I'm one of those guys that's always wondering how, because we're in a unique spot. We have, it could be a tri-state area, you know, it could be, but except for DC's is not a state. So you got Maryland, Virginia, and DC fans. One question I have is, where do you think most of the fans are? Maryland, D.C., or Virginia?
I think most of the fans are in Virginia. I definitely think there's a huge portion of Maryland that also roots for this team. My mom's side of the family is from Baltimore, and, of course, I always forget about the fact that the Baltimore team left, right? And they didn't have a team. And so for years, they rooted for us. And that was kind of the glory years. And so I think a lot of fans have probably stayed Commanders fans, Redskins fans, but now they're getting older. And I think there's a huge argument to be made that if you're under the age of 21 and you're in D.C. or Maryland, you're probably going to root for the Ravens because they're having success. They got Lamar Jackson, one of the faces of the league. They just added Derrick Henry. And so, you know, in the change of ownership, this is an opportunity to increase the fan base. But I also think it's like it's dangerous waters because Josh Harris knows if he doesn't do things right and the team continues to suck and continues to lose 8, 9, 10, 11 games, more of the fans from Maryland, I think, will start to root for the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't mind those guys. You know, those guys supported our Capitals. Their stadium was lit red when our Capitals were playing for the Stanley Cup, and they won that year. And I think because they're not in our division, it's kind of okay to root for them sometimes. But I also wanted to ask you,
sure,
because of our fan situation, and we have a lot of fans, and some of them are getting ready to wake up. They're still not there yet. They're not convinced. They think we're lame. We're still lame. But do you think, because, I mean, you saw what happened last year. We sold out, like, the first three or four games, right? The first three or four home games?
Yeah. Do I think that'll happen again this year? I mean,
You think we'll sell out more than three or four? Or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, this year there's a shiny new toy, and that's quarterback Jaden Daniels. And that's going to wake the fan base up is – seeing Jaden in person, have a good game. That's all it's going to take. And so I'm excited for the fan base to wake up. I think you're onto something, Carlito, that like this fan base has been sleeping because I'm 31 years old. I haven't seen this team have success. So if you've been sleeping for 30 years, you could be 50 now, and you haven't really been all in on this team since you were in your 20s. But there's a chance here for this fan base to wake up because – the cloud that was on Ashburn, the dark cloud is gone. That is Dan Snyder. And I've been talking about this all offseason. There's a real GM. There's a real GM. You could argue we haven't had that since Charlie Casserly. There's a real coach. I think you could argue we haven't had that since Mike Shanahan. And you know what? There's real good coordinators. That's also a big piece of this. So I'm excited, man. Appreciate you chiming in.
Yeah. There's some chemistry there, and he killed the draft. I mean, I love what happened there, and I got to say, and I speak for a lot of fans, I think, when I say that I have never been this excited about preseason, and I don't really care about the score. I've never cared less about the score. I just want to see our A guys. I want to see our rookies develop, and I want to see them produce because we have something, and I feel like our draft was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I want to say we had the best draft. I don't know if that's if you agree. But
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid too, man. We appreciate you chiming in. We're going to take another call here before we go to the break. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, Adam. I would think two games be enough. I like seeing these plays that you know that's the only chance they're ever going to play. Give it a shot, numbers. But you were talking about the NFC North. I think it's a great division. I could be top tier. I think Detroit, it might really go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I think Caleb is going to bring the Bears at least to the playoffs. I think that him and Dan's going to have good years. What do you think? And enjoy your vacation.
Yeah, appreciate you chiming in. He mentioned he would like it to be just two preseason games. I'm okay with keeping the third. I know it sucks because it feels like after this weekend, it's going to be forever by the time we get to that game against the Bucks on Sunday. Oh, yeah, it's not even a 1 o'clock game. Got to wait 3 more hours for kickoff till 4 o'clock. But I think preseason week 3 is important for the coaching staff. And honestly, I think it's just, like, important for the sport. I really do because it's so tough to decide who makes a roster. And then you've got guys that are going to be searching for a new job, a new career when they get cut. And so one more opportunity, one more preseason game to try to show everything they can, to put something on tape. I mean, you heard Trace McSorley in interviews this week. I mean, that was inspirational, talking about how important this was for him to get this call here, to know he'll have an opportunity to put film on tape, not just for this team, but for all 32 teams in the National Football League. I think it's important for these young athletes. And, I mean, especially with how college sports are changing now, with guys deciding to stay and take NIL money. You know, I want to give them as many opportunities as possible with an extra preseason game here, week three, to make a roster so that they feel like it was a good decision to leave college. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the Odyssey app. Phone lines are always open. I'd like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. You can call in 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. Or you can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio, at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. James tweets me, AWOD, who cares if it's preseason? He says, you have to be excited. I don't care if it's preseason, in-season, postseason, or if they wear white after Labor Day. It's football. It certainly beats Celebrity Jeopardy on a Saturday night. That's just such a great point, right? Would you rather be drinking a beer and watching football, whether it's preseason, or would you rather sit there and watch terrible cable coverage on CBS or Fox, right? Nobody's watching any of those shows, CSI Miami. Those shows stink compared to real football. You kidding me? Love that tweet from James. C-Dub tweets me, AWOD, I've relocated down here in North Carolina, and when I wear my Commanders gear, I have people shouting, finally, let's go, and walking up and high-fiving me. There's a lot of excitement down here for this new regime. I love that. I do think that a winning season can definitely make this fan base pop all around the East Coast, because we knew there was a big fan base in North Carolina for years when this team was having success. We talked with another caller about the fan base being in Maryland, even parts of Delaware, roots for this team when this team is having success. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. We're going to continue our theme of this show, which is breaking down the NFC, of course, with a focus. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with that free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey app today to support me during the week. It's easy. Just search 910 The Fan on the free Odyssey app. It'll give you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off on 910 The Fan. I'm live and local Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. Of course, Saturday mornings right here on 106.7 The Fan. You can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. We were just talking about how I am pro-preseason. Eddie tweets me, AWOD. He says, I use the preseason football to find sleepers for fantasy football. He gets it. He gets it, Donald. That's what you're supposed to do. That's a great point. That's why I am very pro-preseason. 12th Man tweets me, AWOD, when it comes to what to watch tonight against the Dolphins, Commanders, preseason week two, I want to see this team defend the run and also run blocking. That is key. He wants to see less offensive line pre-snap penalties. Obviously, less penalties, less laundry on the field, the better. As far as wide receiver six, he can really see that being won by a kick returner or a punt returner. I do agree there. We'll see if OZ gets a chance to shine in that role, because I do think he's in terms of the wide receiver room. And then he also says, can the defense create a turnover? That's a great point. We're going to most likely see the starting defense for the entire first quarter. And last year, the Dallas defense created a lot of turnovers. That was the Dan Quinn specialty there with Joe Witt Jr., right? I think it was Bland leading the NFL in interceptions returned for a touchdown. Like, they just created so many takeaways and made things so much easier for the offensive side of the ball. I would love to see if the defense can create a turnover today. Phone lines are open throughout the show, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to line two. We've got Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Hey, are you wearing sunglasses?
Yeah.
The future's so bright, you got to wear shades. and don't forget, men, there's a gleam, men. There's a gleam.
Why do you think the future's looking so bright for this team?
Well, no Snyder, no Ron, no problems.
I mean, is it really that simple, Kevin?
From where I'm looking at, it is.
Yeah.
They got the pieces in place.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of execution.
Yeah, I'm with you. I appreciate you chiming in. That conversation did come up with my buddies at dinner yesterday. We just all said to each other, Donald, like, what if the Commanders are great? Because there's just simply no more Dan Snyder and no more of the people that Dan Snyder hired. Like, Ron Rivera, last year was such a lame duck season. We knew the team wasn't going to be good because the fan base didn't even believe in the coaching staff. I don't think the coaching staff even believed in the quarterback like Sam Howell. Ron named Sam Howell the starter basically to just keep his job for another year, to get the fans something to be excited about. The future of this team does look good, and I think part of it's just because Dan's gone, Ron's gone, and I think I can speak for most fans here because I believe I have a pretty good pulse on the fan base, and that is that we like what Adam Peters did this offseason. We like Dan Quinn and his coaching style. There's a lot to be excited about. Let's go to line three. We've got Carlito in Virginia. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, A1? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm one of those fans that's been around for a while. And, well, the way things are materializing and I've been following, and I'm kind of intrigued about regarding the fan base. I'm keeping track of the offseason and the training camp and everything, and I'm trying to convince my brother to get excited again. But I'm one of those guys that's always wondering how, because we're in a unique spot. We have, it could be a tri-state area, you know, it could be, but except for D.C. is not a state. So you got Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. fans. One question I have is, where do you think most of the fans are? Maryland, D.C., or Virginia?
I think most of the fans are in Virginia. I definitely think there's a huge portion of Maryland that also roots for this team. My mom's side of the family is from Baltimore, and, of course, I always forget about the fact that the Baltimore team left, right? And they didn't have a team, and so for years they rooted for us, and that was kind of the glory years. And so I think a lot of fans have probably stayed Commanders fans, Redskins fans, but now they're getting older. And I think there's a huge argument to be made that if you're under the age of 21 and you're in D.C. or Maryland, you're probably going to root for the Ravens because they're having success. They got Lamar Jackson, one of the faces of the league. They just added Derrick Henry. And so, you know, in the change of ownership, this is an opportunity to increase the fan base. But I also think it's like it's dangerous waters because Josh Harris knows if he doesn't do things right and the team continues to suck and continues to lose 8, 9, 10, 11 games, more of the fans from Maryland, I think, will start to root for the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't mind those guys. You know, those guys supported our Capitals. Their stadium was lit red when our Capitals were playing for the Stanley Cup, and they won that year. And I think because they're not in our division, it's kind of okay to root for them sometimes. But I also wanted to ask you,
sure,
because of our fan situation, and we have a lot of fans, and some of them are getting ready to wake up. They're still not there yet. They're not convinced. They think we're lame. We're still lame. But do you think? Because I mean, you saw what happened last year. We sold out like the first three or four games, right? The first three or four home games.
Yeah. Do I think that'll happen again this year? I mean,
you think we'll sell out more than three or four? Or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, this year there's a shiny new toy, and that's quarterback Jaden Daniels. And that's going to wake the fan base up, is seeing Jaden in person have a good game. That's all it's going to take. And so I'm excited for the fan base to wake up. I think you're onto something, Carlito, that like this fan base has been sleeping because I'm 31 years old. I haven't seen this team have success. So if you've been sleeping for 30 years, you could be 50 now, and you haven't really been all in on this team since you were in your 20s. But there's a chance here for this fan base to wake up because the cloud that was on Ashburn, the dark cloud, is gone. That is Dan Snyder. And I've been talking about this all offseason. There's a real GM. There's a real GM. You could argue we haven't had that since Charlie Casserly. There's a real coach. I think you could argue we haven't had that since Mike Shanahan. And you know what? There's real good coordinators. That's also a big piece of this. So I'm excited, man. Appreciate you chiming in.
Yeah. There's some chemistry there. Mm-hmm. And he killed the draft. I mean, I love what happened there. And I got to say, and I speak for a lot of fans, I think, when I say that I have never been this excited about preseason. And I don't really care about the score. I've never cared less about the score. I just want to see our A guys. I want to see our rookies develop, and I want to see them produce because we have something. And I feel like our draft was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I want to say we had the best draft. I don't know if that's if you agree. But
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid too, man. We appreciate you chiming in. We're going to take another call here before we go to the break. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, man, I would think two games be enough. I like seeing these plays that you know that's the only chance they're ever going to play. Give it a shot, numbers. But you were talking about the NFC North. Hasn't been a great division. I could be top tier. I think Detroit, it might really go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I think Caleb is going to bring the Bears at least to the playoffs. I think that him and Dan's going to have good years. What do you think? And enjoy your vacation.
Yeah, appreciate you chiming in. He mentioned he would like it to be just two preseason games. I'm okay with keeping the third. I know it sucks because it feels like after this weekend, it's going to be forever by the time we get to that game against the Bucks on Sunday. Oh, it's not even a 1 o'clock game. Got to wait 3 more hours for kickoff till 4 o'clock. But I think preseason week 3 is important for the coaching staff. And honestly, I think it's just like important for the sport. I really do, because it's so tough to decide who makes a roster. And then you've got guys that are going to be searching for a new job, a new career when they get cut. And so one more opportunity, one more preseason game to try to show everything they can, to put something on tape. I mean, you heard Trace McSorley in interviews this week. I mean, that was inspirational, talking about how important this was for him to get this call here, to know he'll have an opportunity to put film on tape, not just for this team, but for all 32 teams in the National Football League. I think it's important for these young athletes. And, I mean, especially with how college sports are changing now, with guys deciding to stay and take NIL money, you know, I want to give them as many opportunities as possible with an extra preseason game here, week 3, to make a roster so that they feel like it was a good decision to leave college. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the Odyssey app. Phone lines are always open. I'd like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. You can call in 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. And you can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio, at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. James tweets me, AWOD, who cares if it's preseason? He says, you have to be excited. I don't care if it's preseason, in-season, postseason, or if they wear white after Labor Day. It's football. It certainly beats Celebrity Jeopardy on a Saturday night. That's just such a great point, right? Would you rather be drinking a beer and watching football, whether it's preseason, or would you rather sit there and watch terrible cable coverage on CBS or Fox, right? Nobody's watching any of those shows, CSI Miami. Those shows stink compared to real football. You kidding me? Love that tweet from James. C-Dub tweets me, AWOD, I've relocated down here in North Carolina, and when I wear my Commander's gear, I have people shouting, finally, let's go, and walking up and high-fiving me. There's a lot of excitement down here for this new regime. I love that. I do think that a winning season can definitely make this fan base pop all around the East Coast, because we knew there was a big fan base in North Carolina for years when this team was having success. We talked with another caller about the fan base being in Maryland, even parts of Delaware roots to this team when this team is having success. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. We're going to continue our theme of the show, which is breaking down the NFC, of course, with a focus on the Commanders, who have preseason game number 2 tonight against the Miami Dolphins. If you want to rewind on the Odyssey app, you can hear us at 9:45. Go inside the NFC North. It's time to tackle the NFC South here on AWOD Radio. So last year, the Bucs made a late run to win that division. At 9-8, they tied with the New Orleans Saints, who were also 9-8. And the Saints ended the season on a 2-game win streak. But the Bucs won their final game to get into the postseason, winning that division, and then took advantage of having a home playoff game, taking down the Philadelphia Eagles in a playoff game. The Bucs beat the Eagles last year. I mean, at the start of the season, if I told you that, you probably would have laughed at me. There's certainly momentum for Tampa Bay going into this season, but we'll start by breaking down the NFC South's last place team. That's the Carolina Panthers, who finished with 2 wins, 2-15, 0-9 on the road, finished the season on a 3-game losing streak. And you know what they're doing? They're sitting Bryce Young in the preseason. What? What? Make that make sense to me. Why would you do that? Why? You went 2-15 last year. What did he show you that it makes you think that he's Aaron Rodgers and he can sit out preseason? Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is playing preseason, but not Bryce Young? I think you could argue that last year, even though the Panthers won just 2 games, the defense was a strength and a top 15 unit in the National Football League. But a big portion of the talent on the defensive side of the ball, they lost in the offseason. Jeremy Chinn, Frankie Lufu to Washington, Burns to New York. I think you look at this roster for the Carolina Panthers, and it doesn't get you that excited. Maybe Chuba Hubbard becomes a star. Adam Thielen is old as hell. He's not getting open, and I don't even know if Bryce Young is completing a pass to the 33-year-old journeyman receiver here. Tommy Tremble at tight end? Who? Who? Am I supposed to understand that there's a lot of big names on this Carolina roster? I just don't believe in them. Jadeveon Clowney was brought in there. Maybe they double up their win total from last year, from 2-4. That's a stretch, I think, but I'll give them 4 wins here just for the sake of it. Maybe they win 1 game on the road. I don't think it gets much better for the Carolina Panthers this year. You move over to the 7-10 Atlanta Falcons from last year. Donald, I don't know about you, but I think this is an Atlanta Falcons team that on paper looks like 9 wins. Looks like 9 wins on paper. All right, so here's my reasons why. If Kirk Cousins is healthy, now we obviously know he's not going to probably play the start of the season, but when he's healthy, he's a top-10 quarterback, right? He's a top-10 quarterback. Bijan Robinson's a top-10 running back. Drake London has made plays. Could this be the year that Kyle Pitts maybe finally becomes a dynamic tight end in the National Football League? He had the yardage last year, decent season, 667 yards, just 3 touchdowns, though. But he's got a better quarterback this season. I think people are sleeping on what Atlanta has done defensively with a good defensive coach there in Raheem Morris. So Matthew Judon was just brought in a trade. Justin Simmons was just signed. A.J. Terrell is definitely a good player. I like Jesse Bates III at free safety. I think there's a chance that they're able to make some plays on the defensive side of the ball. And if Kirk is healthy this season, or if Michael Penix flashes, they've got Tyler Allgeier as a good, you know, backup running back as well. Ray McLeod has made plays in the National Football League. I just think you look at this Atlanta Falcons team, and we'll see how they start the season. That's going to be important because week one against Pittsburgh at home, like, they should win that game. All right, Pittsburgh also is having quarterback issues. Then you're at Philly. You're home against Kansas City, home against New Orleans. That's going to be a tough start for the Falcons. There's a chance by the time Kirk plays, they're 1-3. But there is a stretch of their season where they're going against Tampa Bay, Carolina, Seattle, Tampa, New Orleans, Denver. A lot of winnable games. I think my official prediction for the Atlanta Falcons here is going to be that they are an 8-9 team. So I'm going to have them 1 win improvement from last season. We go over to the New Orleans Saints. I really have huge questions and a lot of concerns about the Saints. I do think there's a chance they win this division. I think, once again, this division is kind of up for grabs here. It could be the Falcons, Saints, or Bucks. But look, I just don't love the wide receiver room for the New Orleans Saints. Rashid Shaheed showed up last year and was really good at times. And Chris Olave, they've got a lot of expectations for him. But I just don't love that wide receiver room. I also am kind of down on Derek Carr. I really am. I was a big fan of him a few seasons ago. And I don't know. I've lost confidence in Derek Carr's ability to lead a team to the postseason. I'm really upset that they didn't win this division last year. I just think that the Saints are a better team than the Bucks, especially defensively. Like, they've got so many stars defensively. Why weren't they better? I'm going to say that the Saints go from a season in which they were 9-8 to a season in which they will be 9-8. We finish with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I really don't trust Tampa at all. That's why I could see Atlanta or even the Saints winning this division here. For Tampa, like, they feel pretty good about Baker, running back Rashad White, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cade Otton, a decent offensive line with Tristan Wirfs beating the leader there. I just don't know if that defense is still as good as it was when that team, based on their defense. Their defense kind of led Tom Brady to a Super Bowl. And it's been a few years now, and the defense has certainly lost a few pieces. You still have Antoine Winfield there. You don't have the same middle linebacker crew that they had when they had all that success. Vita Vea still there as your nose tackle. I think the defense takes a slight step back, and I just don't really believe in some of those playmakers on the offense to stay healthy through the entire season. So I'm going to say that the Bucks also finish at 9-8. So I think you could have three teams 9-8, Bucks, Saints, and Falcons all tie, and it'll be based off of division record to see who wins the NFC South. That was Inside the NFC here with AWOD Radio. We'll touch on the NFC West at 11:45. When we return, it's JP Flame from the Sports Junkies to talk a little Commanders and the entire National Football League. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the Odyssey app. Phone lines are always open. I'd like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. You can call in 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. And you can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio, at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. James tweets me, AWOD, who cares if it's preseason? He says, you have to be excited. I don't care if it's preseason, in-season, postseason, or if they wear white after Labor Day, it's football. It certainly beats Celebrity Jeopardy on a Saturday night. That's just such a great point, right? Would you rather be drinking a beer and watching football, whether it's preseason, or would you rather sit there and watch terrible cable coverage on CBS or Fox, right? Nobody's watching any of those shows, CSI Miami. Those shows stink compared to real football. You kidding me? Love that tweet from James. C-Dub tweets me, AWOD, I've relocated down here in North Carolina, and when I wear my Commanders gear, I have people shouting, finally, let's go, and walking up and high-fiving me. There's a lot of excitement down here for this new regime. I love that. I do think that a winning season can definitely make this fan base pop all around the East Coast, because we knew there was a big fan base in North Carolina for years when this team was having success. We talked with another caller about the fan base being in Maryland. Even parts of Delaware roots for this team when this team is having success. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. We're going to continue our theme of this show, which is breaking down the NFC, of course, with a focus on the Commanders, who have preseason game number 2 tonight against the Miami Dolphins. If you want to rewind on the Odyssey app, you can hear us at 9:45. Go inside the NFC North. It's time to tackle the NFC South here on AWOD Radio. So last year, the Bucs made a late run to win that division. At 9-8, they tied with the New Orleans Saints, who were also 9-8. And the Saints ended the season on a 2-game win streak. But the Bucs won their final game to get into the postseason, winning that division, and then took advantage of having a home playoff game, taking down the Philadelphia Eagles in a playoff game. The Bucs beat the Eagles last year. I mean, at the start of the season, if I told you that, you probably would have laughed at me. There's certainly momentum for Tampa Bay going into this season. But we'll start by breaking down the NFC South's last place team. That's the Carolina Panthers, who finished with 2 wins, 2-15, 0-9 on the road, finished the season on a 3-game losing streak. And you know what they're doing? They're sitting Bryce Young in the preseason. What? What? Make that make sense to me. Why would you do that? Why? You went 2-15 last year. What did he show you that it makes you think that he's Aaron Rodgers and he can sit out preseason? Patrick Mahomes is playing preseason, but not Bryce Young? I think you could argue that last year, even though the Panthers won just 2 games, the defense was a strength and a top 15 unit in the National Football League. But a big portion of the talent on the defensive side of the ball, they lost in the offseason. Jeremy Chinn, Frankie Lufu to Washington, Burns to New York. I think you look at this roster for the Carolina Panthers, and it doesn't get you that excited. Maybe Chuba Hubbard becomes a star. Adam Thielen is old as hell. He's not getting open. And I don't even know if Bryce Young is completing a pass to the 33-year-old journeyman receiver here. Tommy Tremble at tight end? Who? Who? Am I supposed to understand that there's a lot of big names on this Carolina roster? I just don't believe in them. Jadeveon Clowney was brought in there. Maybe they double up their win total from last year, from 2-4. That's a stretch, I think, but I'll give them 4 wins here just for the sake of it. Maybe they win 1 game on the road. I don't think it gets much better for the Carolina Panthers this year. You move over to the 7-10 Atlanta Falcons from last year. Donald, I don't know about you, but I think this is an Atlanta Falcons team that on paper looks like 9 wins. Looks like 9 wins on paper. All right, so here's my reasons why. If Kirk Cousins is healthy, now we obviously know he's not going to probably play the start of the season, but when he's healthy, he's a top 10 quarterback, right? He's a top 10 quarterback. Bijan Robinson's a top 10 running back. Drake London has made plays. Could this be the year that Kyle Pitts maybe finally becomes a dynamic tight end in the National Football League? He had the yardage last year, decent season, 667 yards. Just 3 touchdowns, though. But he's got a better quarterback this season. I think people are sleeping on what Atlanta has done defensively with a good defensive coach there in Raheem Morris. So Matthew Judon was just brought in a trade. Justin Simmons was just signed. A.J. Terrell is definitely a good player. I like Jesse Bates III at free safety. I think there's a chance that they're able to make some plays on the defensive side of the ball. And if Kirk is healthy this season, or if Michael Penix flashes, they've got Tyler Allgeier as a good, you know, backup running back as well. Ray McLeod has made plays in the National Football League. I just think you look at this Atlanta Falcons team, and we'll see how they start the season. That's going to be important because week one against Pittsburgh at home, like, they should win that game. All right, Pittsburgh also is having quarterback issues. Then you're at Philly. You're home against Kansas City, home against New Orleans. That's going to be a tough start for the Falcons. There's a chance by the time Kirk plays, they're 1-3. But there is a stretch of their season where they're going against Tampa Bay, Carolina, Seattle, Tampa, New Orleans, Denver. A lot of winnable games. I think my official prediction for the Atlanta Falcons here is going to be that they are an 8-9 team. So I'm going to have them 1 win improvement from last season. We go over to the New Orleans Saints. And I really have huge questions and a lot of concerns about the Saints. I do think there's a chance they win this division. I think, once again, this division is kind of up for grabs here. It could be the Falcons, Saints, or Bucks. But look, I just don't love the wide receiver room for the New Orleans Saints. Rashid Shaheed showed up last year and was really good at times. And Chris Olave, they've got a lot of expectations for him. But I just don't love that wide receiver room. I also am kind of down on Derek Carr. I really am. I was a big fan of him a few seasons ago. And I don't know. I've lost confidence in Derek Carr's ability to lead a team to the postseason. I really am. I'm really upset that they didn't win this division last year. I just think that the Saints are a better team than the Bucs, especially defensively. Like, they've got so many stars defensively. Why weren't they better? I'm going to say that the Saints go from a season in which they were 9-8 to a season in which they will be 9-8. We finish with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I really don't trust Tampa at all. That's why I could see Atlanta or even the Saints winning this division here. For Tampa, like, they feel pretty good about Baker, running back Rashad White, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cade Otton, a decent offensive line with Tristan Wirfs beating the leader there. I just don't know if that defense is still as good as it was when that team, based on their defense. Their defense kind of led Tom Brady to a Super Bowl. And it's been a few years now, and the defense has certainly lost a few pieces. You still have Antoine Winfield there. You don't have the same middle linebacker crew that they had when they had all that success. Vita Vea still there as your nose tackle. I think the defense takes a slight step back, and I just don't really believe in some of those playmakers on the offense to stay healthy through the entire season. So I'm going to say that the Bucks also finish at 9-8. So I think you could have three teams 9-8, Bucks, Saints, and Falcons all tie, and it'll be based off of division record to see who wins the NFC South. That was Inside the NFC here with AWOD Radio. We'll touch on the NFC West at 11:45. When we return, it's JP Flame from the Sports Junkies to talk a little Commanders and the entire National Football League. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the Odyssey app.